This podcast is brought to you by Dinglemount Church. It will open up God's word to you, inspire you to love God and grow in the knowledge of Him, and challenge you to live a victorious Christian life. Be blessed as you listen.
Team says here is love vast as the ocean, and that's exactly what God did for us through His Son Jesus Christ. And as I said earlier on, this is the first Sunday in Advent, and what we're going to do for the next few Sundays before Christmas is to look at the scriptures and just to deepen our understanding of who Jesus is and the scheme of salvation, why God had to do what He did. And this morning we are looking at God's gift to the world. God's gift to the world. And our scripture reading will be taken from the book of Galatians chapter 4. The book of Galatians, I'll read from chapter 4. And there the Bible tells us what really happened. And so we're going to explore a little bit these verses of this verse of scripture. Galatians chapter 4. And I'll read from verse 4 to 5. He says there that when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son. He says, born of a woman, born under the law. And then verse 5 tells us, He says, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. I'll add verse 6 to it. He says, and because you are sons, it says, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. And Lord, we thank You for this portion. And all we ask is that as we look at Your gift to the world, as we get ready for Christmas, Lord, we ask that You prepare our hearts, not just to rejoice and sing, but to be instruments to pass across to the people and those around us the good news that Jesus Christ came to redeem and to bring sons and daughters to Himself. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, obviously, like I said, is the first Sunday in Advent. And what we do when we've got the Advent Sundays, that is the four Sundays leading up to Christmas, is normally a time for us to prepare our hearts and to get ourselves ready to welcome, to celebrate, and to rejoice for the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you go back into the scriptures, remember that before Jesus Christ was born, there was some level of preparation that took place. John the Baptist, the Bible said that he was the forerunner, and he went on speaking to the people and declaring and saying to them, he says, get ready, something is about to happen. Speaking about repentance, turning away from the ways of sin, and waiting for the unveiling of the Messiah. And there's a word that John the Baptist used in his getting the minds of the people ready for the coming of the Messiah. Remember, he said to them, talking about the mountains to be leveled, the valleys to be filled, the crooked way, says, let them be made straight. And he tells you that we cannot receive Jesus Christ or welcome Him, not just into our world or into our lives, without some level of preparedness. And that is what Advent, the season, is all about. We are getting ourselves ready. We are saying that the mountains in our lives ought to be made low. We are saying that the crooked paths in our walk with Him ought to be straightened out so that the King of glory can come in His majesty and in His glory. But we know that Jesus had already come the first time when He was born as a babe. When He died, He was buried, He resurrected, and He went up to heaven. So what exactly are we talking about when we say that Jesus Christ is coming back again? Or when we want to explore to see why God sent Him? If you are a Christian, we do believe that not just has Jesus Christ come the first time, we believe that He is coming back again. If you remember, the scriptures tells us clearly when Jesus was about to leave, He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And not just to prepare a place, He also talked about the kingdom that He will establish when all the kingdoms of this world it says, will become the kingdoms of our God. And that is the hope of every Christian. We are looking forward to a day when injustice, oppression, poverty, and sin will completely be put under his feet. But when you come to the scripture we have before us this morning in the book of Galatians, chapter 4, I think the scripture is so rich and is a comprehensive passage that we have here in the book of Galatians that tries to show us more or less like an epitome of the scheme of redemption. We are not just talking about something happening, Jesus Christ coming into our world. This isn't an accident. But this, as we see, God had a plan. There was a scheme on redemption, and God had to unveil that to humanity. And the problem sometimes is that people really don't understand what the scheme of salvation and redemption is all about. They see Christmas, just as John said, a time to grab as much as you can, get as many gifts as you can. And even if you lose your peace and joy in the process of doing it, it is acceptable. But that's not what God's intention is for us as Christians. His intention for us is to ask ourselves that deep question: what is the true meaning of Christmas? Why have we come to celebrate and to rejoice? Why are we getting our hearts and minds ready for something that is about to happen? For some families, we know that the Christmas season is the most stressful season because they have to worry about not just the food, the gifts that they have to buy, and every other thing that comes with it. And maybe the trips or the travels that will have to take place. For us as Christians, we're not saying that all that is wrong. Of course, we have to exchange gifts. In my family, December is a very expensive period for me. Daniel born in December the 25th, Michael December the 22nd, my wife December the 16th, my mom December the 9th. So I don't know what is it about December, but as we are getting closer, my heart is racing, and so I'm trying to look away from the demands of Christmas, and that's why I'm talking about God's gift to the world. And I'm sure if I can pass this gift across, I must have done quite well. So in Galatians chapter 4, when you look at those verses of scripture, now what you find is the important event stated, how God explained it to us. And this is what Paul is doing in the book of Galatians, trying to explain to us, this is exactly what is happening. It's not about the things that we see. This isn't an accident, but this is God doing something. And I want you to see how this event unfolded. The first thing you see in Galatians chapter 4, there, look at verse 4, it tells us clearly, it says, but when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son. And there you see the person that was spoken of, and that's the first thing that Paul tries to get across to us. This is God's son that we are talking about. This isn't just one of the prophets that lived and died and maybe phased out in being insignificant. He says, this is God's son, not a created being, not a servant, if I should put a servant, or someone that we can do whatever that we want, but his son. And it's very remarkable, that word, his son, because it speaks about relationship. It speaks about how God revealed and unveiled himself through Jesus Christ. We talk about the incarnation, and the incarnation simply speaks about God assuming that human form and coming to us. If you remember the book of Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 or so, that tells us that let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, you see that being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he humbled himself. And what he did was he had to come, condescension, to our level, just to reach out to us. And so he talks about the Son of God that came. If you go to the book of John chapter 1, and I like the way that John puts it in John chapter 1. Look at John chapter 1, and he tells us, this is who we are talking about here. He says, in the beginning, John 1:1, was the Word. In the Greek, he talks about the Logos. He says, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. So you can see Jesus Christ is the living Word. He's the living bread. And you remember when he came, people couldn't understand this. Remember when he told them, except you drink of my blood and eat of my flesh. He was trying to say to them, your forefathers ate of the manna and they died. But I am that living bread. I am the one who lives with the Father and with the Spirit. And he says in verse 2, he was in the beginning with God. So you see the relationship. And so Paul here, writing to the Galatians, is simply trying to get across to them, saying to them, this is what God is doing. He sent forth his Son. You remember the scripture in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. He was so there to the Father. They had that relationship, and God had to send him. And sometimes if you can explain that relationship, then it makes it easy for you to appreciate Christmas. To say to yourself, really, I know, I can see what God has done. We know relationships most times are not always easy to explain. I remember recently, a few days ago, I was trying to explain to Daniel the relationship between Nikki being his mom and me, Nikki being my wife. And I told him, I said, Nikki, Daniel, she is my wife. She is your mom. And Nikki said, Daniel said, no, she's not your wife. She's mommy. I said, yes, I know she's mommy, but she's my wife. And you could see the expression in his face. He was angry. He said, no, she's not wife. She's mommy. I said, I married her. And that's what it means. I don't think he's gotten the concept yet. So hopefully, as he grows older someday, he will understand the difference between her being my wife and also being a mother to him. And that is it. We talk about the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That is a relationship expressed, and that is what the Bible is saying to us. And that is what Jesus Christ came to do for us. The illustrious person that is spoken of here is God's own Son. So as we prepare our hearts for Christmas, what we are saying is that we do acknowledge that somebody unique, that had a unique relationship with God, and not just God, the Holy Spirit, came into our world. And how should we accept or receive that man or that person who has come? And this is something very, very important. And if you look at that verse again, I want you to see that verse 4. It says, when the fullness of time had come, it says, God sent forth his Son. And there you see the commissioning that went ahead. God commissioned. God sent him forth. He didn't come of his own choosing. And this is one thing that even in Christmas, as we get ready and prepare our hearts, we are saying to ourselves, not just that God came to us through his Son Jesus Christ, but this is divine commissioning. There was that consent there. God, Jesus Christ, chose. And I'll show you a scripture that reinforces that. If you go with me, please, to the book of John, chapter 17. If you look at John 17, and you see Jesus, when he was speaking to his disciples there, and you see that everything he did was all in relation to the Father. He understood that he didn't come to do his will, but he came to do the will of his Father. Look at John chapter 17 and verse 4. And this is him praying. He says, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished, you see that, the work which you have given me to do. So he came to do a work, and that's the work of redemption. And that's why we are rejoicing. We are looking forward to Christmas. And look at verse 5. It says, and now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you, says, before the world was. So you can see he's still making reference to John chapter 1, that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and that Word then became and came to us and dwelt amongst us. So Jesus Christ knew the mission for which he came. He was commissioned. He came to accomplish a task. He came to a sinful humanity, those that never knew him, separated from him, and he came to bring us close to himself. But that's not the end of the story. Look at what the Bible tells us again about not just the commissioning, but you see the nature which he assumed. Look at the next verse there. It says there, that at the end of verse 4, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, that's the commissioning. He says, born of a woman. Born of a woman. In some translations, he says, made of a woman. And we're talking about the woman's seed here, a descendant of Abraham. He wasn't born after the course of nature, but formed by the Holy Spirit. If you remember in the Nativity, we know the story so well. Mary, the virgin, she conceived, and the Bible tells us that what was in her was conceived of the Holy Spirit. Some have looked at that verse of scripture and the story of the nativity, and they said it seems that the Bible is trying to copy some ancient myth or stories out there, where maybe the god or the goddesses claim to have given birth as a result of some form of immaculate conception. But that's not what was going on in the scripture, because the scripture records it, and the account we have is clear from scripture that this is something special going on. Because when Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant, the Bible said he wanted to put her away secretly. But then something happened. An angel appeared to her and said, "Do not be afraid to take her as your wife, for what is in her is conceived of the Holy Spirit." And so the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ is something very unique. We are not just serving one of the gods or one of the prophets who lived and died, and that's the end of it. This is God breaking into our world. This is God that demands our whole allegiance, calls us to come to Him. And that's why in Christmas, we cannot afford to reflect on the what God had done for us through Jesus Christ. If you go with me, please, to the book of 2 Timothy, and you see in the book of 2 Timothy, I'll just read a verse of scripture there to you. 2 Timothy, look at chapter 3 and verse 16 of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. And what we have there is the Bible telling us that all scripture. And so the connection I'm trying to make there is that if you believe that what is recorded about Jesus Christ is true, then this is the Bible scripture telling us clearly that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So the stories that we have, Jesus assuming that nature, that human nature, is not just written by accident or by mistake, or maybe they weren't quite sure what was going on, but this is divine inspiration. Every single thing that is written for us here, we know that it is true, we know that it is reliable, and we know that we can hold onto the words of scripture. He assumed that nature. And I'm sure some of us might be wondering, but why did he have to assume that nature? It was a great theologian, I think this was Augustine, who says that what cannot be assumed cannot be healed. What that simply means is that if Jesus did not assume the human nature just like us, he could not have been able to save us. Because remember that he had to take on the form. The Bible says that he suffered as we have suffered. He was tempted as we all have been tempted, but yet he was without sin. And that is what makes him special. That is why he can save us. That is why he has felt what we have felt. He has gone through the agony we will ever go through. He has taken our sins upon himself. And all he's saying to us is that I have overcome. He assumed that nature. Go back to Galatians again in chapter 4. And I love, because this is a very simple scripture, but it is loaded with meaning. And that's what we're unpacking this morning. Look at Galatians chapter 4 again. And there you see what the Bible says after he was born of a woman. But then he says, born under the law. Born under the law. And that phrase, born under the law, is very remarkable. Because remember that before, as we know it, Jesus, right from the time he was with God, right from the beginning, he was more like the divine lawgiver. When God spoke to the children of Israel through Moses, we had there was a giving of the law. But when Jesus then became our mediator, when he went to the cross, died for us and ascended into heaven, the Bible tells us that while he was here on earth, it was necessary for him to be made under the law. And the reason is very simple. When you go into the scriptures, you see Jesus was subject to the ceremonial law. When he was born, they took him to the temple. He was baptized, the Bible says, to fulfill all righteousness. He had to go through all of that. He was subject to the moral law. He lived a life of righteousness. He fulfilled every single one of them. And so he wasn't a rebel when he was here on earth. He was made under the law. And you can see what God is saying to his people. My son Jesus had come, assumed the nature of a woman, born just as you and I can go through troubles, go through trials, and he overcame. But while he was here on earth, he subjected himself to the ordinances and to the things that we could call the law. He was under the law, made under the law. If you remember when he was born, especially when he went into the temple, when he was, I think, 12 years of age, he picked up the scriptures as his manner was, and he read it. And after he read it, the people were amazed at the way he read it. And he said to them, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your very eyes. There was the divine lawgiver right from the beginning, standing before the people and telling him, in me, you will have the fulfillment of everything that has been written about me. And it's such a wonderful thing, especially when we come to Christmas, as we are reflecting on the birth of Jesus Christ. We are saying to ourselves, we know who came. He came to set us free from the law. He came, as we've been looking at in our evening services, so that we can walk in freedom and in liberty. No wonder why Paul, when he was writing to the Christians, he tells them clearly there that this is the Spirit that sets free. And how does the Spirit set us free? Remember when Jesus Christ came, he made a promise, I now go to the Father. And when I go to the Father, I will send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And the Holy Spirit has come, and he now sets us free to give us that liberty, not to live under the law, but for us to walk in freedom and in liberty. And that is an amazing concept. But I want you to look at that verse 4 again, and you see, how does it start? Look at verse 4, please. If you look at the first phrase there, it says, but when the fullness of time had come. I don't know if when you read that, when the fullness of time had come, whether that struck a chord in your spirit, the fullness of time. What time is the Bible talking about? What was going on? Because there you have the period of his manifestation. And you can see that everything that God does according to divine perfect timing. I put it this way, that God is never late. And sometimes when we go through troubles, we go through pain, we go through affliction, and we are looking up to God and asking and wondering, where is God? It seems that God is late, but God is never late. Remember when the Israelites were in bondage for almost 400 years, it seems that they had been forgotten. God was not showing up on their behalf. But the Bible said at the right time, and it came to pass, something happened. And in the same way, in our relationship with God, we need to understand that God is a God of perfect timing. That though for us as humans, we may think that we're running late. We may think that things aren't happening as fast as they should. But with God, everything is divinely planned, divinely ordained. And all he's saying to us is to submit and understand the divine timing. Remember when Jesus Christ came, the Israelites or the people of God's people, we are living under Roman occupation. It was a time that we are expecting, that we are looking forward to a Savior, to a Messiah. They had that messianic hope. And that was when Jesus Christ came. But not in the way they expected, but he came in a way that was very different. And sometimes when God does his own things, it's not always according to your expectation. You are expecting and saying, God, this is how I want you to come. This is how I want you to show up in my case. But God does something, not only that we will satisfy your soul at the time, but something that will last for time and eternity. When the fullness of time had come, the fullness of time. If you remember in Daniel's prophecy, in Daniel, I think chapter 9, verse 24, if you read about Daniel's 78 weeks and all that, for those who are familiar with that portion of scripture, Daniel spoke about it. At the fullness of time, Jesus Christ had to come. At the fullness of time, when the world was in a profound state of peace, when Rome was at its glory and at its peak, that was when Jesus Christ came. And I think that as we draw closer to Christmas, the question is, what times are we living in? Is this a time that Jesus Christ can still be relevant to our world? Because that's what happened at the time when he came. He was relevant to the time. And for some people today, sad to say this, but Jesus Christ has no relevance to their lives anymore. They read the Christmas story and they look at themselves and say, well, this is some ancient history and it's got nothing to do with their lives. But when you think about that phrase at the fullness of time, not just that it's irrelevant to them at the time, even to us today, Jesus Christ is still very, very relevant. If you look around us and all the things, the rumors of war, the troubles, the things that we see happening, the question you should ask yourself, who can bring true peace into our world? not even the best of presidents, not the best of men with the economic policies that can maybe literally make promises as the election is coming closer that they will change our world and bring peace, and but not Jesus Christ, as we know, is the only one who can bring lasting peace in this broken world of ours. And if you go back to the book of Galatians, and I'm going to be closing on that. If you look at that phrase again in the book of Galatians, it now says something, and there you see the end of these events of what is happening. Look at Galatians chapter 4 again. In Galatians chapter 4, he says there in verse 5, after he had told us what has happened, he says in verse 5, and this is the sole aim and the reason. If you lose the sense in verse 5, then you've lost everything, right? From verse 4 or even from verse 1. In verse 5, he says, to redeem those who were under the law, that he says that we might receive the adoption as sons. And that sums it all up for us as Christians. For those who don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, this is another Christmas. This is another opportunity. He says that we might, that we, and this is to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And we're talking about redemption here, buying back. I've said this over and over again, that sometimes when I speak to people or those who don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, one of the most difficult things to get across to them is the concept of sin. And some will ask you, what sin are you talking about? Well, the sins of Adam and Eve. How? What has that got to do with my life in the 21st century? Adam sinned, Eve and all of that. And so you're trying to tell me that the sin of one man has affected every single one of us. And some can get that concept, but the Bible is clear. Through one man, sin has gotten to all of humanity. And through one man, and this is the second Adam, that is Jesus Christ, that is where we can find redemption and we can get saved. And he says that we may receive not just redemption, but adoption. Do you know what adoption means? For those who maybe have gone through the adoption process of adopting a child into their family, they will tell you what it's all about. When you adopt a child, it's like the child is fully and part and parcel of your family. And then the same thing, that's what God, through his son Jesus, did for us. The Bible says that we were separated from God. We didn't know him. But when he brought us in, he brought down the dividing walls that separated us from him. And he now says, you are my sons, you are my daughters. And that is a wonderful concept in the scriptures, that those who were afar off have been brought near to God. If you look back, or maybe if you've given your heart to Jesus and you remember the time that you made that decision, how special that moment was, how the joy that filled your heart, that once you were an outsider, but now Jesus has brought you close, that once you didn't know him as Lord and Savior, but now your life has been brought under his control. John chapter 1 verse 12. Let's look at John chapter 1 verse 12. And I will wrap close on that verse of scripture. John chapter 1 verse 12. Look at what he says there in John 1 verse 12. He says, let's start from verse 8. I think that makes more sense. In verse 8 he says, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness to that light, speaking about Jesus. And that's why we lit up the Advent candle. The first candle there we see, symbolic, the light that came into our world. He said, that was the true light which gives light to every man who comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. You see that they didn't even know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. They rejected him. And people are still doing that today. Rejecting the Savior. Rejecting the message of salvation. He says there, look at verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right. And that is the key word. To them he gave the right, he says, to become children of God. Even to those who believe in his name. And that's the right of adoption. That's what we have received through him. We can confidently come to him. And that's why I look at verse 6 of Galatians chapter 4, where we read, it says, and because you are sons, that's how God looks at us. That's how he views us. It's a relationship. You have become sons. It says, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. You can now look up to God and cry, Abba, Father. You can now look up to Him and call Him your Father. Just as my son can come to me and call me Daddy, and I can embrace him, and I can love him, shower the blessings or whatever on him. That's exactly what God wants to do for us. He's saying, "Your my spirit dwells amongst you. You come to me as a son, as a daughter, and I will receive you." And this morning, I believe that for those of us, maybe if you're here this morning and maybe you have not thought about what it means, God's gift to the world, what Jesus Christ meant, the perfect timing, how God unveiled his plan of salvation. Maybe this is another time for you to think and to say to yourself, I need to come into that living relationship. I need to know him as my personal Lord and Savior. I need to have that joy that comes with Christmas that says I'm celebrating not because I have received a gift that maybe if it's a shoe or whatever you've been given, maximum you might use it for a few years or a few months, and that will be the end of it. But there is a gift that keeps on giving, and that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who not only gives you life, but he keeps on giving and reproducing that life on the inside of you. And the Bible tells us that a day will come when we will spend life and eternity with him. What joy should fill our hearts when we reflect on that truth. Shall we bow our hearts and just thank him for a few seconds for what he's done for us?
If you have enjoyed listening to this podcast, why not join us in worship at the Dingle Mount Church, or log on to our website at www.dinglemount.org for more information. Thank you for listening.